We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Very rarely do I reach out to somebody and say, hey, can I manage your property? 99% of my clients reach out to me, find my number, call me, or refer to me. So it's like, okay, I'm at a point now where, like, humbly speaking, like, you need me. I'm doing good where I'm at right now, and I'm scaling, and I'm being more selective of who I do business with, because I realize you can't do business with everybody, because all money isn't good money. And earlier on, I'm like, ooh, I need that property, that property, that property. And it's like quality over quantity. Everybody, like, I'm more so focused on who's my avatar client. Okay, I've been doing this long enough. Who is somebody the type of client I know I don't want to work with that's going to cause, you know, turmoil and stress? And that's just kind of where I'm at right now on my journey.
And a lot of people will fight you on the fact that people don't value free stuff, but it is a fact. You don't take it as seriously. If you have to invest money in something, you're gonna try to get your return back, or at least pay attention to what, you know, what the person's teaching or what they're doing, or whatever the case is. And there are those select few who will go all the way through on something that they got for free, but 99% of people will not execute on information they got for free. I'm sorry to say it.
No, that's
like
true.
The majority of people, and there's nothing wrong with this, the majority of people need an incentive. You need to have, to your point, skin in the game, some sort of investment you've made within reason that you can afford. But if you didn't, then you would have already done it with all the free information out there, right? They would have just went on YouTube where there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of videos on what you do and just done it off of that, right? But to your point, it's the reason they came to you. So you make the investment and, you know, test this out. So I appreciate you mentioning that, because that's something that people don't really want to talk about, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And it's something I recently learned. I realized, okay, I had a few clients try to take advantage of me and I was nothing but nice to them, nothing, just morally the person that I am. And I realized, okay, something got to shift. And it just, like you said, people value it more. They definitely value it more. When you spend money, you got to recoup that investment, and you're more inclined to make it work too. If it's just free, oh, he's just working for free, it works. Like, I want to work with people who are interested in, you know, want to change their lives as well.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the avatar. Let's talk about the avatar, and let's talk about who you don't want to work with. And the reason I want to talk about that is because for those watching, they're probably thinking, okay, we're talking about all this stuff and it sounds like I need to figure out, like, who is an ideal client. It's going to be different for everybody, but I think just a general idea of what you look for and what you try to avoid will be helpful.
Gotcha. So I'll start with what I learned to avoid. So, like, a lot of times people would reach out to you and then start fishing for information. So, like, the clients that I now want to avoid are clients who give me red flags out the gate that they want to try to cut me out and do it themselves at some point. I don't have a problem with you if you come up to me up front doing that, but if it's like we sign a contract and then you start, you know, trying to do things your way and change things from the contract, those are like red flags out the gate. And people who kind of like waste time, people who drag their feet on things, people who are indecisive, can't make decisions. I'm giving you all the resources that you need to be successful and you're playing double dutch, right? You know, hey, have you applied for your license yet? That's the only thing we're waiting on. Oh, no, I didn't call them. Oh, I got to email them. And it's like, you're now, like, I have so many clients, it's like, you might have fell to the bottom of the priority list because you're not holding up your end of the bargain, right? People that I do want to work with are people who are passionate about investing in real estate. People who don't have the time to do it, right? Working with people who are, I would call them pain points. They love the business. Like I've probably taken over more people's Airbnbs than I've signed Airbnbs from the jump, because people just don't have the bandwidth to do it. And I'm the person that will run everything for you, where like my ideal client is, here, Ron, take the keys. I don't ever want to see Airbnb. Just make sure the money good every 2 weeks. Like that's my ideal client. Not, hey, Ron, did you bring the trash cans in today? Like I work for the DC government full time. And I'm a boss myself. I don't consider myself a worker. I've never called any supervisor a boss. And when you're micromanaging me as a client, I had to let people know we're in a partnership together. I don't work for you. We work together. It's like Shark Tank, an equity deal, 15, 85, 20, 80. We're working together because you need me just like I need you. And I realized the importance of setting boundaries right out the gate. So something I'm actually developing right now is like a client personality matrix model. So I know I said in this business, I sell nights and I pay people's mortgages, right? But I'm really in the people business. I'm dealing with guests who spent their hard-earned money to stay at whatever property. You have entitled guests, you have guests who don't care. You don't know who's staying in your Airbnb. So just think of that like an unlimited personality type, right? You can't control that, but you can control who you work with. So now what I'm doing with my clients, I can't really change anything about clients I currently have. I can just put them into certain boxes based on their personality type. But now I'm starting to identify who is this client I'm potentially about to work with. So if I'm coming to your house to see your property, you think you're about to interview me? No, I'm interviewing you also with the questions that I'm asking to see what is your management style, what's your personality type, to see if this even makes sense to me, because all money isn't good money. And some people will stress you out to the point where you say, man, is this even worth it? And I've had to fire some clients before, mm-hmm. like respectfully, hey, you know, this isn't working. And sometimes you have to do that to protect your peace and also protect your business, because like I said, there's a certain type of client I want to work with. And if you show me out the gate, even from the first conversation after a networking event, I'm like, oh no, I can't work with this person. It's okay. There's some host out there that will work with you, but I'm just not the one.
So Ron, you're working your 9 to 5 and you also have this thriving business from 5 to 10 and probably later some days. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about just the technology systems and things that you need to use just to run the business efficiently first, and then we'll talk about the team.
Okay. All right, so when you're managing multiple properties, you definitely want to have a tech stack. And a tech stack is just pretty much the different softwares that you use to run your business, right? So I use multiple CRM systems to manage my day-to-day activities, to track, you know, claims, things of that nature. I use something called a channel manager that allows me to list multiple properties on multiple platforms where the calendars are synced so you can avoid double bookings, the messaging, the pricing, and things of that nature. I use revenue management software, similar to like how hotels prices fluctuate daily based on supply and demand. So I use different softwares that help me maximize revenue for my owners. I use a plethora of other different softwares, whether it's for social media marketing, whether it's for sourcing cleaners or handymen and things of that nature. But pretty much in my day to day, I mainly focus on my CRMs and my channel manager to engage with the guests and also to maximize revenue potential.
Got you. What channel? So the channel manager basically helps you post on like Airbnb, VRBO, et cetera, at the same time, and everything is all synced together. Are there different types, or is there a specific one that you typically use?
Yeah. So I used to work, when I worked in the DC government in my previous role, I was a data analyst and I managed systems. So what I realized, a lot of these softwares are all the same. Some of them just have different bells and whistles. So one of the biggest ones on the market is Guesty. You have Owner Res, you have Uplisting. I use Hospitable. I've used and demoed all of those different ones. But in terms of ease of access, in terms of price point, and in terms of their customer service, I really like Hospitable. So that's the one that I use.
What about for pricing? Is there a certain, what tool do you recommend?
Similar to that, they have Beyond Pricing, Wheelhouse Pricing. One of the biggest ones in the market is Price Labs, and that's actually the one that I use, Price Labs.
Gotcha. So we got pricing software, we got software to kind of manage all the bookings and stuff. Is there any other technology that you use? I might have forgot something.
Definitely, yeah. I use two different CRMs. I use Monday.com. Monday.com is pretty much like a CRM project management software where it's mainly for my team. And I also use something called Go High Level. Go High Level is a software I've been using for about 4 to 5 years now. And it's very dynamic. It lets me do a lot of different things in terms of automations, websites, email marketing campaigns, things of that nature, and everything is housed under one system. So those are pretty much the main core softwares that I use.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.